Sup, welcome to Espacito, the Esper Genesis podcast, your fortnightly serving of sci-fi RPG ridiculousness brought to you by five idiots that drink too much in the UK whilst we occasionally roll dice. And honestly, the tangents we go off on would offend you deeply. So be glad that Tom Owen does a wonderful job of cutting them out. I didn't really plan this intro, you might be able to tell. So yeah, welcome. Thank you for coming back. We love that you're still listening. We'd love it if you could leave us a rating or a review if you so choose. You don't have to. It just, you know, it would warm our cold, hard hearts to the world that we're living in. Yeah, and welcome back and enjoy the show. Peace, prosperity, and live long and prosper. So, although we've done a brief recap on messages because I couldn't remember what the fuck had happened, was the last session we played on your birthday, Mike?
Yeah, so it was 2 weeks ago today, I think.
Yeah, it was your birthday.
Oh, yeah. All right, cool. So, last session, you guys were making your way from...
Downtown.
Oh, walking sorry. Past, faces past. Were we homebound?
Are you done? Are we good now?
Yes, but for how long I really can't promise.
Downtown. Okay, now I'm done.
Was that Green Day or Petula Clark?
The other one.
Petula Clark, yeah.
Okay, so last session you left the Dwarven Flotilla and headed towards the Dendu homeworld of Dendisar. On the way, you came across some pirates who happened to be on Dora's old ship and were sort of threatening you with some stuff and some things. You ended up having a bit of a boarding party. You did quite well on the fight. You managed to disable a lot of traps that you didn't know were there. Rebook eventually killed Rickard Thorne, who was Dora's old first mate who had carried out a mutiny and abandoned her and stole her ship. You managed to capture Sandra and Axel, who were still adamant that you... Well, Sandra was adamant that you were villains. Axel just wanted to give up this pirating life and open an apron shop somewhere. You also got some new allies. So you got Jimmo, the large Matakai. You got Todd, who was particularly fond of you guys, it seemed. He's a big fan of Dora. And there's also Darren, who is capable of piloting the ship, and you're not quite sure of his loyalty, but he's not actively trying to kill you at the minute, so that seems fine. Now, with your two ships, the HMS Dendu ship and the Golden Rose, you made your way towards Dendisar. You were met on the border of Dendu space by a security ship. You were held there for a bit, and then Hexorn, a Dendu security official, arrived and politely but firmly asked you to follow him, otherwise he would not be allowed in Dendu space. Hud punched him because he's got anger issues.
Yep.
You had a slight debriefing with Hexorn, who, managing to put up with your belligerence, agreed that you would shortly be meeting a senior Dendu politician to discuss matters further now that you appear to have been cleared as a security risk. So, that meeting done, you're escorted back to your ship by a small security force, about 10 guards. But as you arrive at the landing pad, you can hear some quite loud shouting. And Dora, you hear the unmistakable roar of Jimmo's voice carrying across the surface of this moon, drowning out the Dendu security forces that appear to be attempting to calm the situation. As you get nearer, you can make out there's a crowd of probably another 10 Dendu security guards, all sort of in a semicircle around Jimmo, who has got his greatsword out and he's swinging it in an arc. You can make out behind that it looks like probably the two ships have been maglocked. And you can see another group of guards are charging out. Weapons raised, but you can tell these aren't lethal weapons. They are just security weapons for taking down threats in a non-lethal manner, if you will. Jimmo doesn't seem to be paying any attention to what they're using. He is swinging his great blade around and yelling things about no one daring to take him on, and it's a travesty, and there's not a fair trial, and threats to tear them all limb from limb. The guards around you look at you a little awkwardly, but kind of tell that you're not much of a threat, so they go to join the semicircle.
Do I know who's in charge of these guards? A glance.
There is one Dendu's voice who you can hear slightly louder than all the others. And you're not really used to Dendu military gear, but you can tell he's got more pips on his shoulder than some of the others around him do. And you can just hear him saying, "Sir, please lower the weapon and stand down. You are not under arrest. The ship is not impounded. This is a security issue, but you will be free to leave once clearance is given. If you do not stand down, we will be forced to take extreme measures." Which is sort of drowned out by Jimmo yelling something about pulling his genitals out and shoving them into his face.
Dora just walks up to the guard. Hearing this, she kind of laughs. "That's a good one, Jimmo. Brilliant."
And he yells, "They're trying to take the ship! They're taking the Rose!"
"Is that right?"
"No, we have been ordered to impound, not impound, to..."
"Whoa, whoa, 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 mate, no, no, let me stop you there. No one's impounding my ship. All right."
"It's not impounding, it's being secured to ensure that you don't leave until we're given... I'm just following orders here."
"Right, that's my ship, I can leave whenever I like. I choose to be here. All right, that's what I want to hear out your mouth right now, or I won't call him off.
You chose to come here, but please, it is your ship, absolutely. Once you have concluded your dealings with my superiors, I'm sure they will give clearance no matter what you decide to do. But at the minute, you are here on the invitation of the Dendu security forces, and it is sort of our moon and our space."
"That weren't part of the deal when we landed."
"Deal was nothing to do with me. This is..."
"Is this guy in charge of the hangar, John?"
You can tell that he's the most senior ranking officer, but...
"Could I use my knowing the craft background feature so I can use technical jargon and I'm able to figure out the type and purpose of most vehicles and I can find safe and affordable passage and welcome at most spaceports when docking? So could I wander over to him and sort of like put my arm around him and just take him to one side and be like, hey, hey," and just sort of like...
"As you put your arm around him, he's like, he brushes it off and says, excuse me, sorry, I'm dealing with a situation at this minute. Please..."
"Are there any other ships in the hangar?"
"No, this isn't a spaceport. This is a military installation."
"Are there any other military vehicles or anything like that in there?"
"Not that you can see in this hangar, no."
"Okay. So I'd just say to him, look, I'm trying to help you here. I work with these guys. They're not the most stable people in the world, but there's a knack to it, okay? Just you know, just a word in your shell-like sort of thing." And then I sort of gesture to like ask him to step to one side away from like everything that's kicking off.
He presses his fingers against the bridge of his nose, takes a deep breath and says, please, and looks at you, Dora, please stop your Matakai from getting violent. Please. And then nods at you, Hud.
Right, Jimmo, calm it down for a second, but keep your sword ready, mate. Could be trouble.
He growls, looks at you. And he stops swinging his sword, but he sort of brings it in and holds it up next to him and sort of snarls at some of the soldiers that are around him.
I step into the middle with him.
All right. So I say to the, I guess, like the bridge commander or whatever, I say to him, look, this isn't the situation any of us wanted to be in. You know, I've met your boss. I'm sure it's not a thrill ride working under that guy. We all hate our bosses, but...
Well, actually, Hepson's been quite a generous and lenient superior.
Lucky you. So, suffice it to say, we were told one thing by Hexor. I get that you weren't necessarily in the loop for that. These guys are territorial. Hands up, that's fine. That's just the way things are. But you've got to realize, this isn't just a ship to these guys. This is their home. Now, with that in mind, I know you've got a job to do. We've got a job to do. We're here to do a job too. But... let's just say avoid terms like impounded, avoid phrases like you can't leave, rephrase things more as you're a welcome guest, enjoy your stay, feel free to leave whenever you choose. Get them through the door, get them out of your hair, do your job. See what I mean?
Do you want to roll a persuasion?
Yes. Do I get advantage?
No.
You're going to ask, I guess.
Oh, that's a natural one. Fuck.
I appreciate what you're trying to do. However, my orders were fairly clear. We are to maglock both ships to ensure that you do not depart. And as far as making them feel welcome, and I'm not really comfortable with deception. It's not really my...
Oh, all right, fine. Okay, just give me a second, okay? And then I turn to Jimmo and Dora, and I just sort of stomp over to them, and sort of like just through the security guys. I just point at both of them and just go, you, stop making a goddamn scene. Can I roll an intimidation check?
Yeah.
Okay, this one's slightly better. That's a 15.
Want me to roll something?
I feel like a disapproving hood's quite intimidating.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what to contest that with.
You're embarrassing me in front of the Dendus.
Jimmo, you can see, lowers his greatsword a little bit, and he looks between you, Hud, and you're sort of livid, telling him off, and he looks at Dora, who's stood next to him, and he's like, Captain? And Dora, I feel like it's up to you to decide whether or not a 15 is enough.
Looky here, Hud. See what you say, mate. Stand down, Jimmo. We live to fight another day. And then I whisper in his ear, keep an eye out on things here. We could use this to our advantage.
At this point, I turn to the hangar boss who I was speaking to and give him a really meaningful look and say, well, now what?
Thank you so much. My goodness. Well, now you are free to do as you please on your ships. You can move between the ships. You can wander the hangar. Unfortunately, the rest of our facility must remain closed to you.
Oh, la-di-da, we're free to go about our business on our ships. How very generous of you.
I don't know what to do about you guys being such dicks. he just ignores that and continues talking to Hud.
Listen, for what it's worth, I don't think Dumas really hoped to achieve anything by it.
I ask him, my ship sustained a little bit of damage getting here. Can we have some tools to maybe repair our ship while we're waiting for your bosses or whatever?
It's your ship now, Hud. Did you hear that, Dumas?
Stop trying to stir up shit.
Thank you, Dumas.
Yes, of course. I'll have the tech crew send out some equipment for you.
By the way, when I say stop trying to stir up shit, I mean stop trying to stir up shit with us. And I know we all stir up shit.
Yeah. We're not trying to harsh your groove.
Like you do you, but...
but not at us.
Yeah, we're going on,
the officer sort of takes a half step back as if he's like, he's unsure as to whether or not you're done with him.
Oh, yeah, that's cool, thank you.
Piss off.
All that.
And he turns quite sharply on his heel and walks off, and he signals the other guards to follow him. You do notice about 10 linger in the hangar bay. They're not leaving, they're not getting too close or anything, but they are staying there.
Oh, we're just going to go, bye-bye.
I sort of turn around and say to him, what are you, Irish alt band of the early noughties? The zombies? What are you lingering for?
And the officer hasn't quite reached the exit of the hangar yet, and he turns and says, like I said, you're not allowed free reign of the facilities. These people are here to make sure that you don't make free reign of the facilities.
I just sort of mutter to myself, oh... They've got you wrapped around their little finger, haven't they?
What was that?
Nothing.
It looks like you said something.
Nothing. Zombie.
He shakes his head and finishes his exit, followed by a bell. Right, so you're free to do what you like between your two ships. Todd, by the way, does greet Dora and says, Captain Dora. Yeah, I did remember something whilst you were gone, and so I went to check it out, and there was a Lorendi engineer called Zifrael. Must have slipped my mind.
Do I remember Zifrael?
It's not a name you recognise.
Okay.
So I went to check, looked around the ship a bit, see if I could find her. She was in the engine room when your mate Dumas drained the atmosphere, and she was pretty dead. Didn't quite know what to do with the body, so we put it in cold storage for now. I just thought you should know there's a Lorendi corpse in the cold storage room.
Fortunate to know.
Bloody hell, mate.
Classic Tuesday.
It's bad news indeed.
It's for Zifrael, yeah.
Most dignified murder I've ever carried out, but...
I mean, it was effective.
I could have done with an engineer. Next star we come across, we'll space her into it and give her a proper send-off. How about that? Were you close with her, Todd?
Not really, no. She kept mostly to the engine rooms. Didn't really talk with anyone, to be honest. Bit of a loner, as they say. That was about all I had to say about her, really.
Seems you have a spot open for an engineer. Perhaps we can recruit one while we're here. Or, hold on, Rebook, you're pretty good at that kind of shit, right?
I feel overlooked here, but yes, it's something I can deal with.
But I see you more of as a kind of, you know, top tier, not quite captain, but, you know, near enough there.
Top tier engineer, yes.
A director of the ship, if you will.
This is far too much responsibility.
Chief!
Believe the words, chief.
Chief.
Executive.
Executive chief. Chief executive officer. You are CEO of my ship.
So I do very little work, but get all of the loot.
Reap the benefits. Of course, that's a pirate life.
Sounds amazing.
You are the definition of a professional pirate.
So is there anything anyone wants to do, or are you just going to...
I'm going to fix the ship as best I can, hopefully with Rebook's help, because he's better at mechanics than I am.
Rebook's part of the Golden Rose now, is not HMS Dendu ship.
How are we going to have an HMS Dendu ship without a Dendu on it? That's ridiculous. Come on, Rebook.
Therein lies the irony.
What, the irony of the HMS Dendu ship, there being no Dendus? Come on!
I mean, it is still a Dendu ship.
Can I just point out how much I hate that name, but I realise the futility of actually contesting it with you.
I'm glad you acknowledged it. Now, come on!
We're not the most imagined groups.
Sounds better than the HMS Dwarf ship.
Mm.
Yes, because it is not Dwarf ship.
I mean, for the sake of conceptual symmetry, we probably should call it the Silver Thorn, but I'm not doing that.
Oh, God, that's good.
It would need a new paint job.
It's either that or you'd call the Golden Thorn the HMS Pirate Ship.
Ooh, now that is a brand change I can get behind.
Nobody is changing the name
of my ship. That's a solution.
Yeah, if I manage to fix the HMS Dendu ship in time, can I try and snaffle some paint and write HMS Pirate Ship on the side of the Golden Rose?
I would like to put Jimmo on watch around the ship.
I'm pretty sure I can convince Jimmo.
Have we determined what HMS stands for in this universe? There is Queen Elizabeth II still hanging about.
Oh yeah, she's not dead.
No, yeah, she's definitely still in charge of just the small kind of pile of ashes that remains of Britain in the far future of Esposito.
Yeah, she, you know that I can't remember the name of the character, but that skin sheet they have in Doctor Who. Caroline?
Oh,
the face of Bo. No.
She's just that.
Is it Lady Cassandra?
Lady Cassandra, that's it.
Is that treason? I feel like it's treason.
Not treason. I've said that she lives thousands of years. That's the most patriotic thing I can do.
As a peeled face.
There's also a smaller peeled face next to her. Just Charles looking grumpy.
When will it be my turn on the throne, Mummy?
Being kept alive with the perpetual promise of being...
Yeah, no one's even trying to keep him alive. It's just his determination and stubbornness that's got him going.
Mummy, Camilla's been dead for 3,000 years. Let me have a turn.
You said you'd give up when we reached the fourth millennium.
I lied!
Anyway, sorry. You want to try and fix the ship? Are you just trying to repair some of the... it didn't take any structural integrity damage. It's just the hit points.
Oh, yeah, I was trying to heal the hit points.
Hull points.
Hull points.
The hull points. Yeah, looking at the ship, having an examination, it looks a little bit like it's at about 3/4 of its potential strength.
Mm-hmm.
You could say that it's taken 10 hull points worth of damage of 40 total.
That looks like 10 hull points of damage.
So, it's a mechanics check. I just need to bring up... Why didn't I have this open beforehand? The core manual, so that I can look at how you go about repairing. It's a jury rig, I know that.
So, do I need, 11 other people and we need to come to a unanimous decision?
I'm ignoring that.
Too far, man.
But that was the line. I never know with you people.
Okay, let's see.
DC 14 wisdom check or mechanics check.
Oh, to be fair, actually, so a patch repair takes 1 hour. Mm-hmm. You make temporary fixes to the ship systems. During a patch repair, the crew can expend up to 2 hull dice from their maximum. Ship regains hull points equal to the result of the blah, 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 blah. Or you can do a full repair, which takes 24 hours.
I'll do the patch repair.
Yeah, sure. So it's a D8. You can roll up to 2 of them.
Okie dokie. Oh, nice. So that is 9.
All right. It's looking a lot better. It's not quite shiny, but it's doing well. It's, out of a total of 40, you're now at 39, so to speak, to put it in that sort of common parlance where you divide things down into 40s.
Okay, cool. That's all the parlance I need. Hud lights a cigarette and admires his job well done. Does he have time to paint a new name on the side of the Golden Rose?
I'm going to say he has time, but he would need to get past Jim O.
And he would need paint.
I'm going to say there's paint.
Oh. Boiled again.
No, I feel like I've messed with Mike far too much.
So you have repaired the ship pretty significantly. It's doing quite well. Anyone else got any plans, or are you just sort of heading to bed?
Are we sleeping in our own ships and stuff, or have they given us lodgings?
They've not given you lodgings. You are... kindly invited to stay on your own ship.
I feel as though we're very welcome here.
I mean, I did punch their boss and your mate threatened to kill like most of their staff, so...
We have not been gracious guests so far.
Yeah, well, off to bed.
Alright, so...
There's a CEO cabin in the Golden Rose.
Oh yeah, no, it's on the mid-deck, the closest quarters to the bridge. Well... It sort of shares that, so there are 2 quarters in the same place, opposite each other, down a corridor. The one on the left, if you're standing facing the front of the ship, is the captain's cabin, which is the bed that you always slept in. And the room opposite is the first officer's cabin, which I've decided that Rebook is going to stay in, but you can change that if you'd like.
I bring Rebook aside and I say, look, mate, I trust you 15 million times more than any of these blackguards, for good reason. Jimmo is he'll kill the first thing he sees and ruin everything, but I love him. Todd is literally Todd from that classic TV show Breaking Bad. He'll betray me at the first. He'll shoot a child.
Spoiler.
Darren, I think we'll come around. He's a pilot. He likes the sky, he likes space, just like me. And Sandra is my, she's my project, if you will. But you, Rebook, are obviously first officer. and probably, let's face it, going to make most of the decisions.
Excellent. I do not trust your crew at all. I'm going to sleep in the vents where I'm more comfortable.
What vents are you sleeping in?
I feel like Reboot's just good at sleeping in vents, seeing as that's where he spent like a good proportion of his life now.
Yeah, but whereabouts on the ship?
Nomadically.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just find like a bit every few days to move around. He's not got many possessions.
Oh, brilliant. I love that you're a space like hobo, Tom.
We'll just find bits to hide in.
Interesting.
That's what I like in a first officer.
Right, so I need to know this for tonight. Where are you sleeping on the first night in the ship?
I guess the vent section, but in the first officer's room.
Okay.
Like the best of both worlds, as far as Reboot's concerned.
All right. So,
Dora's going to sleep in the captain's chair, though, tonight.
In the captain's chair?
Not in the captain's cabin. In the chair. Okay.
You are aware that that's not very captainly at all.
It's been a while.
Are you going to be drinking as you do it?
Oh, I mean...
Well, not as you sleep. Are you going to drink yourself to sleep?
I like to think she gets into the chair and she cracks open a secret compartment in the chair that Rickard never knew about, and just this lovely bottle of like tequila falls out.
That is actually, as you said, you slump in the chair. I was thinking that would be perfect if there's like a little hatch that only you knew about and there was just a dusty bottle of booze in there. So yeah, 100% that happens. There's about three of them in that chair.
The chair is made of dusty
it's
bottles.
Mostly it's a hollow chair. It's amazing that it's lasted this long. All right, so you settle yourself into your captain's chair, finally at home on this ship that you've been yearning for years. Jimmo, after getting a bit bored of guarding the ship because obviously no one's coming for it, sets himself up in a bunk in the galley just outside the cargo bay where Sandra is being kept. You have a brief word with him, and he's basically, whilst there are plenty of beds in the ship, he's pretty certain Sandra means that she wants to kill you. So he wants to make sure that she doesn't. Todd and Darren take bunks on the lowest deck of the ship. Back on the HMS Dendu ship, you've already got rooms that you've decided on. Is anyone doing anything else in particular? Or can I just crack on with what I had?
No, I'm not doing...
All right. So Hud, as you lay down in your bunk and you close your eyes, you drift off into sleep. The events of the last few weeks are running through your mind. And then you sort of blink and you can feel water drops onto your face and you shake your head and you open your eyes and you find yourself in a jungle, geared up, wearing your Infinity Corps combat suit.
I just say to myself, oh God, not again.
For a second, you look to your shoulder and you can see your rank insignia and you sort of furrow your brow, but the confusion passes and you're back in the mission. You're hunting something. What wasn't clear in the orders, but you know you need to locate the source of a signal and stop it. It doesn't seem right because you thought your orders had something to do with pirates, but sometimes wires get crossed. You continue making your way through the undergrowth. The squad of soldiers you're with fans out to cover more ground. There's the sound of heavy rain that thunders onto the canopy above. The water pools on the large leaves until the weight is too great so that every now and then a crash of water falls to the floor beneath. You hear a shriek from the left and turn, raising your rifle, and you can see the remains of Chariots, one of your comrades, just being lifted away by nothing. There's no sign of what took him. No one reacts. And you think to yourself, it's a shame. He was a good man, but nothing to be done. The group faces front, and once more, the trudge continues. And the sound around you fades to nothing. You look down to make your way. Four more steps and you look up at chaos. You're lying on the ground, looking up as a void with crackling edges and lashing tendrils looms over you. You see Sergeant Havarabi, Rick Prouther, and Taylor Quint caught in its grasp, screaming. The sounds of crashing and shrieks of pain fill your ears. You turn to pull yourself away and your equipment is gone. And as you look back, you are dragging Dewey Flynn, Duo, the torn fabric of his suit scraping over the undergrowth where his legs should be. You thought for a second Doc should be here with you, but he's nowhere to be seen and there's no time to look for him. Duo's eyes roll up and lock on yours. The tears pouring down his face turn red, and you hear a voice at once booming and a whisper. The words sound kind of like they're constructed out of fragments of sound. They're clipped and mispronounced. You feel it as much as you hear it, and it moves through you and fills you with a sense of dread.
Kom Adnarajan, do you recall our first meeting? You should have died in that jungle, but what was just a shadow of my true power? Your end is coming, but that is not something unique to you. Go home. Find a bottle to drown yourself in, as you should have done all those long years ago.
And Duo's hand reaches up, twisting unnaturally as his forearm grows, and he grabs your forehead and hit with this vision of the void from the jungle, but this time its tendrils reach out to grapple planets and draw them into itself. And the void grows and consumes your vision until it's all you see. And then you shake yourself awake, drenched in sweat and shivering from the cold.
Well, I look around for a couple of seconds, and I reach for my gun, which I keep nearby. Before I can close my hands on it, I realize I'm back on the ship. I'm not in the jungle. Instead, I reach for my cigarettes and I draw one and light it with trembling fingers. And I don't go back to sleep.
Okay. Rebook, what is your passive perception?
It is 16.
All right. You're sleeping quite comfortably in the air ducts above the first officer's cabin.
I say very comfortably. These are quite luxurious because it's designed for like Eldori, so they're bigger than the usual vents you'd be hiding in. It's quite a spacious room comparatively.
You're incredibly comfortable. And your night seems to go quite quietly. And then you hear a sound, and you wake up to the sound, and you see this flicker of flame coming through the air vent grating, and then you see the grating just pulled open, and a hand reaches inside and grabs hold of your leg and starts tugging. It doesn't seem strong enough to actually move you out, but you hear a sort of shrieking, and this voice just call out, "You had no reason to kill him. It wasn't your fight, it was hers. I'll kill you for killing him, and then I'll kill her." And the arm just keeps tugging at you.
I'm going to take one of my pistols and blast at the arm.
Yep, roll an attack.
22.
That'll hit.
The cryo pistol as well. 8 damage. That's cool.
Okay.
Are we all just going to ignore that terrible pun?
What terrible pun?
Tom saying that's cool when he's shooting with his cryo pistol.
Oh no.
I didn't
even catch it. That was subtle. I didn't even catch it.
No, I didn't catch it either. And you've ruined it for me now. Thanks, Aaron.
What killed the dinosaurs, Tom?
The Ice Age.
It's not even a joke.
The social isolation.
Okay.
Keeping it topical, sorry.
Keep going, Tom. Keep going.
I definitely enjoyed that one.
I can't, I picked.
And the arm sort of lets go and pulls away. And then the vent that you're in is just consumed by a bright light. And it heats up immensely. And some of it starts to melt. And you feel it sag beneath you. It's not quite destroyed, but this is definitely an uncomfortable place to be. And you take 2 points of heat damage. Fire damage, I guess.
No.
Toasty damage.
Yeah, you're feeling a little warmer than you were. I guess roll initiative now.
Everybody, or just...
Dora, I guess, what's your passive perception?
15.
Dora, you blink yourself awake, and you have heard something. You're not quite sure what it is, but there is definitely a noise that you weren't expecting.
Can I roll for initiative, or...?
Yeah, I'll let you roll for initiative. Like, you don't know where it's coming from. I don't think you can rush straight towards where it is. What'd you get?
Or.
Yeah, all right. So you don't rush straight towards where it is. That's fine.
That'd be typical.
What did you get, Rebook? 18?
18, yeah.
All right, so Rebook, you go first. Sandra appears to be trying to get you to come out of your vent.
Oh, Sandra. That's comfortable in that. I guess Rebook's going to try and roll out of the gap. He's in, like, push off with his legs from the side of the vent and try and squeeze through the gap and out from the, well, red-hot vent he's stuck in at the moment into the CEO's room.
Yep.
And then blast away as he's going out and keep firing with his pistols and make two attacks there.
Cool, go for it.
So that's a 23 and a 15.
Both hit.
Cool. Sorry.
It took me a second to realise why you were saying sorry for saying cool.
So that's 9 necrotic and 7 cold damage.
Okay.
And then, as a bonus, offhand, find a shot as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I get advantage on these, I've realised.
You do. You also, with your offhand, so you get to add your wisdom to this one.
Yes, yeah. I probably should have hunters marked, but I'm just firing again anyway. So that's a 20.
Yep.
14 cold damage as well.
Whew.
And Sandra needs to make a DC, well, a few DC 13 checks, or her speed's reduced by 10.
What's the check? Is it Constitution?
DC 13 con save. Yeah, there we go.
Cool. Fail. Fail. So it reduces the speed by 10, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So it's been reduced by 20. She's not moving fast, I guess, is the upshot of that.
She's chilled out.
Stop it. Or don't. I don't care. So, at this point, she pulls her arms back in sort of a Hadouken-style pose and then throws them at you. And she rolls an attack. Oh, God, these are terrible dice, Mike.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm very happy about this.
I mean, however, Tom, you do still take 8 necrotic damage. And by the way, as you come out, you can see she's got these two discs hovering above her. So this wave smashes into the side of the wall and you get clipped by it. You don't see it, but you can see the crumpling damage along the bulkhead wall and you feel yourself get knocked a little bit as you take the 8 points of necrotic damage. And then you see one of these discs fly towards you. That's going to hit. 21 to hit.
Not hit.
And you take 5 points of fire damage.
Ow.
And then Dora, it's your turn. You've definitely heard gunshots now.
Okay, cool. She kind of like shakes herself awake and then nearly falls back asleep again because she's had that entire bottle of tequila and then shakes herself awake again. Gets on the comms. Jimmo, Todd, shots on the upper deck. Let's go.
Shots.
I got a tequila bottle up here. I don't mean that. I mean actual gunfire, mate. Seas. Ah, fuck. And then I run towards the shots.
Yeah, you can get to the door into the CO's room, and you can see Sandra there. It looks like someone tried to fuse the door shut, but they didn't manage to do it.
Before I get into the room, do I still have an action, or was the comms thing an action?
I'll let you still have an action.
I'm going to peek into the room and see that it's her and be like, right. And then I'm going to use Alter Appearance and I'm going to turn into Rickard Thorne.
Mind games, baby.
All right, yeah, that's your action. Rebook, it's back to you.
So as a bonus action, I'm going to move my Hunter's Mark onto her.
Mm-hmm.
Will be an action to speak to her, or
like it depends what you're trying to do. If you're trying to convince her of something, it'll be an action.
No, okay, yeah, no, I'll try that. I say, Sandra, cool off.
Oh, I'm so conflicted. I hate you, but I love you at the same time.
The in character, I think it's fine. Are you doing anything else, or are you just shooting at her?
No, can I try that?
You,
as like,
you want more than that?
Intimidation or a persuasion to get her to chill the fuck out.
Hey.
Right. So you want just that to be a persuasion to chill her out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Roll persuasion with disadvantage.
220s. Come on, you can do it.
Definitely advantage. I got -1 in charisma, but it was worth it.
Was it?
Okay, that's a 2. Went about as well as expected.
Yeah, she's not at all convinced by that.
Worth it.
What she does this time is she reaches over and presses a button on her wrist because she's heard noise from down the hall. She reaches over and presses a button on her wrist, and 3 copies of her appear, all with this one floating fiery disc above them. And all 4 of them fling them at you. What's your AC, Tom?
15.
Yeah, that'll hit. Oh, shit. Oh, God. You take 6 fire damage, as these 4 Sandras all fling these fiery discs at you.
Put away those fiery biscuits.
I was thinking that as I said fiery discs. Get out my fucking head.
No, I live here now.
Damn it.
I'm saving so much on rent.
And there's so much room.
Yeah, but there's all this weird porn in here.
It is weird porn. It is really weird. It's mostly Farscape themed.
Oh, poor Claudia Black.
That man's got so many tentacles on his head.
Something about the ship's exhaust pipes. Oh, God.
The ship's a living ship.
I have no mouth, but I must scream.
I'm done. I'm leaving. No, that was mostly me. I apologize. Dora, it's now your go.
Remind me of Rickard's voice again. I know it was only last session.
He was Irish.
He fucking wasn't.
He was Irish.
He was Irish.
It was quite offensive.
Oh, God. Well, this is going to be even worse.
Okay. Before I hear this accent, I'm going for another beer. Yeah. Well, you're crunching there, Aaron. It sounds crunchy.
I got a carrot.
Oh, that's not as exciting as I thought.
Why?
It's have more exciting.
Have you at least got hummus with it?
No.
I don't understand.
Defeats the whole purpose. I had a hankering for carrot. I got a carrot. I've also got a bag of flips and a blue moon.
Oh, what balances that, baby? Flips, man. Flips is where we're at.
Always have flips. Like, what the hell?
Flips are great.
Do you have a lifetime supply of flips?
Oh, if it would that I did. Like, would that I did.
I'd be dead.
Yeah. We'd all be syncing up our phones for our diabetes. It'd be great.
I'd be dead.
And we'd mourn you, but my God, we'd do it with flips.
Yeah, you'd mourn me with flips. And you know what? I'd appreciate that.
Instead of throwing dirt on the grave, we'd throw flips.
Throw flips.
Flips to flips.
Flips to flips.
Ashes to ashes. Flips to flips.
Like, there is not a flavor of flips that I do not like. Like, you know, you give me a milk chocolate. Boom. Classic. Give me them white chocolate fudge bad boys. Oh, man, Flavor Town. You give me a dark chocolate, not normally my thing, but you know what? It works. The bitterness, it undercuts it. You know, give me some of that salted caramel bad boy. Sure, it's on a fad, but all right, it is good. Give me a flip or give me death.
You should be the, like, voiceover artist for their non-existent adverts.
Flips, if you're listening, we are open to sponsorship deals.
Flips.
Anyway, should we get back to that fight that we were having?
Yeah, I suppose.
Dora, it's your go.
And I was doing something.
You were disguised as Rickard Thorne.
Yes, and he was Irish. Okay. Here he goes, guys.
Can't wait.
To all our Irish listeners, I'm very sorry.
So... she turns the corner and says, Cassandra, what the bloody hell are you doing?
Oh, God. Roll a deception check. I want to give you advantage for being disguised, but I want to give you disadvantage for the accent.
That totally scans.
Yeah, I have advantage anyway because of my thespian feat. So all right, if you want to give disadvantage, then it'll just be a straight roll.
No, you can. It balances out as advantage, I guess.
Okay, I rolled the same thing twice, and it's bad. Well, it's 11.
Okay. I mean, that might work.
I rolled a 4 twice.
I mean, a plus 7's pretty good.
Sandra, what the bloody hell you doing? Come on!
Oh, I'm getting flashbacks to like season 3 of Sons of Anarchy.
He's doing the bad Irish accent in that.
The entire season is a bad Irish accent. I'm taking my kids home. Seriously, anyone who's seen that, God.
Reboot, it's now your go as you watch Rickard. But in a very Dora-like accent, announces, "What are you doing?"
It comes out Welsh instead.
Yeah, it comes out very Welsh.
What the bloody hell is this then?
Well, I never.
But he's my brother, he should be here.
Reboot, what are you doing?
I've hunted this marker, haven't I?
Yeah.
Can I tell which one's her?
Ooh. You can, but that's not going to negate the effect of the. Well, I'm going to say no, you can't quite tell which one's her. It's very much confused by this ability that she's used. I couldn't think of what it was called. It's not a spell. This power, this...
talent. Yeah. A technique, if you will.
Yes.
Yeah, cool. I'm just going to fire twice at them.
Okay. Are you firing twice?
Yeah.
First time, the bullet strikes through one of the figures resembling Sandra, and the figure sort of flickers and vanishes out. Second time... it hit her.
Cool. I didn't roll an attack. Does that matter?
So the second time roll an attack to hit her.
Oh, I think that hits anyway. That's a 24.
You hit and it hits her. The first time you hit and it hits one of the clones. The second time it hits her.
So 12 cold damage. And I'm going to blast her again with the offhand attack as a bonus. That's a 16.
That hits her.
Nice.
Mike, your dice are shit.
10 necrotic.
Okay. And you can see she's starting to look a little bit weary. Mike, you can hear clambering at the ladder as Jimmo appears, but still about a turn away. And then, after she turns and looks at Dora, disguised as Rickard Thorne, frowns a little bit, snarls, and then turns back and throws this wave. That is a 19 to hit.
Yeah, I'll definitely hit.
Okay. So you take 10 points of necrotic damage as this wave slams into you.
I'm pretty rough.
At the end of your next turn, you're also going to take another 7 points of damage, but it's at the end of your next turn that you take that.
Cool.
Then she's going to make another set of 3 discs appear above her head. And then we are back to Dora's turn.
For goodness sake, woman, what are you doing? Are you having a wee laugh here? Do you really want me to kill you? Wearing your ex-lover's, your dead lover's face. Just put your arms down. He's now Northern Irish. Put your arms down now.
I mean, it's better than mine, so I can't really say
anything. I get back in the bloody cell, like, and I draw my double-bladed sword, run at her, and hit her with a flat side of the blade for, like, non-lethal.
Yeah, roll to hit.
Natural 20.
That'll hit, but as it hits, it just glides through this copy of her.
Oh, there's two more?
So this is the second of three copies, and you've just hit a copy.
Ah, for fuck's sake!
Rebook is back to you.
Oh, I'm not doing well. I'm going to take another two shots at her.
Yep.
So a 16 and a 19.
Okay, both hit. First one definitely hits her. Second one hits the final copy and that fizzles out.
So that's nice. 14 damage. Then again, with a bonus with the offhand, I'm rolling really well tonight. That's a 20.
That'll hit.
And 9 damage, 9 necrotic.
As that one hits her, she drops to one knee, but she lifts her head and sort of glares at you, and Dora over your shoulder, Jimmo just about arrives, and she looks up at you and says, "You took everything from me."
I don't even know who you are.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And at that...
Do I take that necrotic damage as well?
Yes, you do take 7
Hold
additional...
On. You need the other line as well. Come on. Or did you say it and I missed it?
He said it and you missed it.
No, you should... You're supposed to come back.
Yeah, I did? Did I?
No, she's supposed to come back with... You will... Or something.
Oh, right.
I don't remember that bit because I was laughing too much in the cinema.
Yeah, I don't really recall that. Like, I thought, I want to leave it at that because I thought Thanos' sass there was perfect.
It's definitely not in the meme. I know that
it was
much.
Very, it reminded me of M. Bison in Street Fighter.
Oh, yeah. So, I get that feels.
To me, it was Tuesday.
Yeah, she does fuck him up a little bit at that point.
Yeah, well.
I mean, everyone's up, depending on when the plot demands it.
She is from yelling, "You took everything from me," and hearing your response of, "I don't even know," he throws her arm forwards, and I need you to make a dexterity saving throw. I realize that's probably your forte.
It's my forte, but I feel like I've rolled too well tonight, and now it's going to. I'm going to use the other dice actually instead, because your one hates me.
It does.
What's the say? Oh, I'm proficient. Excellent. So 20, that is.
All right, you pass that, but you're still going to take some damage.
I think that's all I need.
Oh, that was good. Mike, your D6 is excellent. You take 8 cold damage, and then she flings one of these discs at you again.
Is that a second attack? Because I'm down at the cold damage.
Oh, yeah, she's still going to throw this disc at you. Which I guess gives her advantage. And it hits you. So that is... Two failed death saves.
Yep.
And she sort of lets out this shriek and then spins round to see Jimmo stood behind the figure of Rickard Thorn that's starting to flicker a little bit. And Dora, it's now your go.
I hold up my hand there, and Salty comes out of a little area of my back. That's where Salty sits. It's like my lower back. It's like a tramp stamp. He flicks out and goes over to Field Salve Rebook.
I think.
I can't even remember what it is. Is it a 1d4 plus something?
1d4 plus your forging ability modifier.
Yeah, it's plus my wisdom then. Okay, so you get 4 points of health.
Lovely. Thank you.
And I say to her, "This isn't going to go well for you, love. So just stop right now."
Seeing this droid swoop past and revive Rebook, she screams, "Nah!" And Rebook, is now your turn.
I'm going to jump back up on my feet and... I mean, how's she looking at the moment?
Weak.
I'm going to keep firing at her. So that's 11 and 16.
The 16 hits.
I've lost my hunter's mark because I went unconscious. I think that's how it works. So that's,
yeah, it is.
5 cold. And then offhand, that's a 15.
Yeah, that'll hit.
And that's Nice. 9 necrotic.
So, Mike, you ask her once again to calm down, and she gives this shriek. And as she shrieks, you see Rebook sit up and shoot once, and you see her back arches. And then he shoots again, and you just see just this dent appear in her forehead as the bullet has gone through and not quite broken on the other side, but gone straight through her skull. And she just collapses forwards.
I told you I didn't trust your crew, Captain.
Well, I fear it won't be the last.
Please drop the accent.
What do you mean, drop the accent? I've already spoken like this. So much death. So much death. And she kneels next to Sandra and closes her eyelids. All for what? All for what?
And Jimbo says, sorry, boss, talking in, are we saying everything twice?
Listen, Jimbo.
Or 6 times. No, hang on.
How the fuck did she get out of her cell?
I don't know, she's got Esper shit, hasn't she?
I thought that cell was pretty much locked down. Right, anyway.
Door's still locked. You can look at it. Door's still locked. He's gone cockney now. I'm sticking with it. This is now Jimbo's voice. Stand down. Calm down, everybody.
Don't you, mate? This is now Dora's voice.
I'm not happy with that. That's not okay.
That's going to be a lot of recording.
I don't support that decision.
All right, anyway. We're going to have to space her as well as the engineer. I hope you're bloody happy, all of you.
We should have spaced her a while ago.
I feel like she mostly did this herself.
Or at this point, dispels the Rickard Thorne garb and says, nobody, mates, nobody is beyond rehabilitation.
You should be like a redemption paladin or something.
No. Pirate's a pirate. I don't like to see them die. Sad day for us all. I hope one day someone will give me some kind of pass, as it were, that I gave Axel. You know, that guy that you were with?
Yeah, he was all right. Bit of a wimp, but all right.
There you go.
Anyway, do you want me to stick the body in with the other body, with Zafriel?
Do we have one freezer, or is there two freezers?
It is just the one.
Oh, bloody hell. Yes.
We could make it so that they're, like, hugging, so it looks like they're not so lonely.
Jimbo, I know what you do in your spare time is entirely up to you, but please don't bring it in here.
I meant it entirely in a friendly way.
I know, mate, and I give him a wink.
He looks confused.
What have me and Hud been up to?
You've been sleeping. I mean, Hud's been smoking. Hud's not.
Ah, excellent.
Did I hear any of this, like, while I was, like, awake and traumatised?
Different shit. There's two holes between you.
Well, fair enough. So there's not just me just, like, standing at a porthole going, what are they doing over there?
Not unless you walked outside, but you didn't specify that you walked outside.
Yeah, no, I doubt he would have done it. He'd have just been sat in bed, bolt upright, sort of muttering to himself, and chain smoking.
If we're done being sympathetic towards your murderous crewmate, I'd like to find a new vent to crawl into and sleep.
Maybe you can take the captain's vent tonight, Reboot.
Is that an innuendo? I really hope it's not.
The captain has the largest vent. I shall crawl into there.
There are several ventilation shafts out of my cabin. There are escape routes. Don't press the buttons in there.
Okay, I will put myself in the captain's vent.
And don't press any of my buttons.
I can't make any guarantees.
Okay. The rest of the night passes without incident. Are you sort of gathering for breakfast, or are you sort of all doing your own thing?
Is that now a long rest again? Or?
Yes, you will have had a long rest.
Love that.
I needed that.
I didn't get hit.
No, I feel that was very much an exchange of damage, but you did save me, so...
I always look after my CEO. You take all the shit on my behalf. And then you get a nice little bonus at the end of the year.
I'll say this. You're lucky that you slept in the vent, because otherwise she'd have done a lot more damage very early on. And you're lucky that she fucked up her mechanics role to lock the door behind her.
Oh.
She got an 8.
How did she get out of the cell?
Portal. You've seen her use it before.
Oh, I suppose Dora's probably is dumb enough to put someone there as extra powers into a cell that she can fucking portal out of. Makes sense. I thought there was some kind of barrier.
I mean, if you look at the description for Portal, there is nothing about anything blocking it. So you arrive at the spot desired. It can place you at one you can see, one you can visualize, one you can describe by stating the distance and direction. So she knows the ship.
Could I theoretically portal inside somebody? And I know what you're thinking.
You know,
like in a sexy way?
It quite specifically says, if you arrive in a place already occupied by an object or a creature, you and any creature traveling with you takes 4d6 damage and you are knocked back to your starting location. So you can't go into a person.
Oh, no.
You've got to at least buy them a drink first.